This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Nets and the Cavs tonight, and the debut of the big three. Kyrie Irving has missed seven games for a myriad of reasons. James Harden has joined the team, and the games that he's played so far with Kevin Durant, they've looked great together. Tonight, Kyrie is back on the court against the Cavaliers, and we will see the debut of the big three. You could watch it on Yes at 7 o'clock. Pregame is at 6:30, and part of the pregame will be Frank Isola, and he joins us now. Frank, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Don and Peter are putting you in the top five of guests on the show, so that's pretty heady.
Wow, that's pretty good. I think I was nice of them. Well, let me say this first. Good hustle by both Peter and Don so far today.
Don't you think? Hustle. We just got here. Yeah, we're doing the show.
I know, but it's still good hustle.
No, I appreciate that.
Job, you're getting paid. It's good hustle.
No, we got here, though. We got here.
Wow. All right, so here's my big question leading into this game. How does Kyrie fit with the other two? Because the other two seem like they're fine together and they've played off each other. Kyrie's a guy who's used to having the ball in his hand. Is this a potential problem?
I mean, I definitely think it could be. I think this is why Steve Nash gets paid the big bucks, to try to figure it out. But, you know, Kyrie's been gone for 2 weeks. The last time he played against Utah was the best game he's ever played for the Nets. You haven't seen him since then. And since he's been gone, they've upgraded the position. James Harden is a better player than Kyrie Irving. He's more reliable than Kyrie Irving. He's accomplished more in the last 5 years than Kyrie Irving has. So, and you could just see the chemistry that he and Kevin Durant have on the court. So with Kyrie playing off the ball, how are they going to spread the minutes out between the three of them? It's going to be interesting to see because, you know, the win against Orlando, the first game out, Orlando's a little banged up. But the win they had the other night was a quality win on Monday against a very good team in Milwaukee. And Durant and James Harden are two of the best offensive players we've seen in the league. That one, the same team, is pretty remarkable. They're tough to stop. So I don't know how Kyrie's going to fit in because, you know, he likes having the ball in his hands. But let's face it, James Harden is a little bit better with the ball in his hands. And that's where I would go if I were Steve Nash.
How does the rest of the team adjust to this, of having those three guys?
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part because now you're taking somebody out of the starting lineup, and unless you're going to play Jeff Green at center, I'm assuming you're going to keep DeAndre Jordan in there, and Joe Harris is a guy that spaces the floor. So someone's going to come out. I'm assuming it'll be Jeff Green, but you'll be playing pretty small with, I guess, Kevin Durant as your power forward. It's going to be a tough adjustment, I think, for a lot of them. But the one thing about Kevin Durant and just the way that he plays, very much like LeBron, you know, he has a lot of confidence in his teammates, and the way that he plays, he instills confidence in his teammates. And he's always looking, you know, to make plays. And Joe Harris, has benefited the most with Kevin Durant. They have a pretty good thing going when they're out on the court. He talks a lot to Joe Harris. He knows where Joe Harris is on the floor. And I think a lot of those guys are really good role players. They got rid of two really good role players in Jared Allen and Caris LeVert. But I think those other guys kind of know we're in a position now where we might be able to make, or they should be able to make, a pretty deep run in the playoffs.
Do you think that the Nets gave up the King's ransom to get Harden because they just don't know what's going on from game to game with Kyrie? Or were they going to do this even if Kyrie was there?
Well, that's my thing, right? If Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't get hurt, and Kyrie's all in, and the Nets go out and they're 9-3 in the first 12 games, and they're making this trade, I'm not so sure they're making the trade. But I think Dinwiddie going down, and then the situation with Kyrie Irving, whatever the reason was, and let's face it, he didn't really explain why he missed 2 weeks.
I not at all.
Didn't have to. But my thing is, from the Nets standpoint, you know, the Nets, it's not a group home. They're not a political organization. The Nets are a basketball team. And, you know, they pay people a lot of money, and they have to worry about trying to put the best team out there. And I think when you have Kevin Durant on your team, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to Kevin Durant to try to go for it. So I think they did give up a lot, but you do have a player like Harden on the team. And I think they did it in terms of, all right, so now we know we have Kevin Durant and James Harden. So tonight they're going to have Kyrie Irving. But if you're Sean Marks and Steve Nash, how can you say, yeah, come playoff time, we know we'll have the three of these guys, barring injury I'm talking about. because Kevin Durant and James Harden always play. That's not necessarily the case with Kyrie Irving. And whatever has happened to him in the last 2 weeks, and if he needs help, I'm sure the Nets would look out for all their employees. They'd want to help them out. And if he's going to need help again, you would hope that he would get that. But who knows when this is going to happen, Michael? What if it happens on the eve of the playoffs? What right. if it happens after game one of a playoff where he just were to leave the team for a week or 2 weeks? You cannot sit there and tell me, no, that won't happen. How would you know that?
What do you actually do, Frank, in terms from the standpoint of getting a team together? When you make a move this big midseason where everything on the team is basically different, how much can you get together in practice to really change this? And how much of it is we're going to let Harden and Durant kind of do what they do and work around the sort of what they give us?
Yeah, that's a good point, because right now there isn't a lot of practice time. And also because of COVID, they're trying to limit how many times everyone is together. So I think it is difficult. But I do think when you have great players, guys tend to figure it out. Like I was laughing the Harden's first game, because especially in that light blue uniform, he's out of shape. He looks, like I said, he looks like somebody's 45-year-old uncle who's been hearing about his nephews going to the park, and he's like, I'll come down and I'll show you guys how it's done.
I mean, but then he does it.
Tearing it up. And he's not in good shape. I mean, he's remarkable what he's been able to do. I mean, he definitely needs to probably drop like we all do, maybe like 5, 10, 15 pounds. But when he gets in really good shape, and he's a worker. That's the one thing about James Harden. I said it to you guys the last time I was on, was, you know, he's kind of a bit of a throwback. He likes to have fun. Not in COVID, he doesn't, but when you're allowed to hang out, he likes to hang out. He enjoys the life of a single guy. But when it comes time for the referee to throw the ball up, that dude's ready to play. He plays all the
even
time.
During,
he plays a ton of minutes.
Even during COVID, though, he was hanging with Lil Baby. So even during
COVID. That was the problem. He was handing out honey buns and all that stuff. But again, no one likes the way that he handled his departure from Houston. But he ended up getting his way, just like Kawhi Leonard.
I saw a statistic.
Anthony Davis got his way.
I saw a statistic, Frank, that there's a direct correlation between the location of James Harden and the success of the strip clubs in that area.
So, did you get that from Elias?
That Elias had that. So they're expecting a big boom for all the adult workers and dancers in Brooklyn. It's going to be good.
That's why everybody should wear a mask so they can get back to work and we can get this thing going again.
All right, so
James Harden's going to help the economy a lot in Brooklyn, that's for sure.
The other night against Milwaukee, the game's on the line, and Harden takes the shot. He gets the rebound, kicks it to Durant, who drains the three. So game seven, NBA Finals, they're down one. Who's taking the shot of the three of them? Who's Nash designing the shot for?
Well, it's interesting, right, because Kyrie is responsible for the biggest shot in the history of the Cavaliers organization, which won a championship for them. Harden, in a lot of these big games, you know, there are times when he's disappeared. Now, to be fair, he's also been the best player on his team, and he got the Houston Rockets up 3-2 on the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors. So I'm putting the ball probably in Durant's hands and letting him make the play, because Durant, the two biggest shots that Durant made in the finals against Cleveland were both pull-up jumpers over LeBron James in transition. So I trust Kevin Durant to make the right play. The thing is, all three of them aren't afraid to take that shot and live with the consequences of it. We've seen Kyrie do it, but that, I think you keep bringing up good points. My thing is, I just trust Harden a little bit more right now. Look what he's done over the last 5 years, becoming one of the best offensive players that we've seen in the league. And he's also won an MVP during that time. That's not to say that Kyrie Irving is not a terrific player. Look what he did 2 weeks ago against Utah. He was terrific on both ends of the court. But, you know, I think it's going to come down to who's more reliable. And in this situation, I think you'd have to say Kevin Durant and James Harden.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so the game is tonight. The first time we'll see the big three together, and it'll be on YES. The pregame show with Frank is at 6:30. 7 o'clock is tip-off, and I'm sure it might be the biggest audience in YES history, according to the net. So before I leave you, I just want to ask you this one thing. Are we all wrong thinking that Durant has not missed a beat after Achilles surgery?
I don't think so at all.
It's amazing.
I'm amazed. It really is. And that's the thing, too. When a guy plays in your city and you tend to watch him a lot more, it's really striking just how good the guy is. I mean, LeBron is clearly like that, and Kevin Durant is. And for him to come back and just be this good. And what I like about it, too, like he goes to Golden State, and obviously, you know, the whole thing with the burner account that he has, and people are criticizing him a lot. He kind of becomes, for lack of a better term, a sports villain. People don't like the move that he made, and clearly that affected him. I don't think he likes being the bad guy, so to speak. But you could tell that he has that joy back and of playing, just the way that he's handled everything. He's just a terrific player, and it was so much fun the other night watching a game between two quality teams, Milwaukee and the Nets, and watching what Durant could do. The guy is 6'10", 6'11". He can hit pull-up jumpers. He doesn't just rely on three-pointers. He attacks the basket. He gets into the lane. He's versatile. He's kind of like this show, especially with those two great Charlie Hustle guys that you have, Don
right.
and Peter.
They are hustle guys.
You're welcome.
I got to ask you one more
That's
thing.
That's why I love him. I don't know if I'm getting a shot or getting a compliment. I really don't know.
I'll tell you what he's doing.
He's bringing back a shot.
He's bringing back a shot, and he's mocking the shot that was taken at us.
No. Yeah, no. I'm actually complimenting you guys. I am.
See?
Right.
I'm doing it now. I complimented Mike too much the last show. Now I want you. Listen, I'm insecure. I want you guys to like me, so now I'm complimenting you to you. 100%.
Well, respect I got it. You top five guest and person.
Person?
That's great.
He's a quality guy, Peter.
Frank's directly responsible for my success. Frank Isola is directly responsible. He used to do my work at the Post so I could write.
My wife and kids don't have me in the top five of person, so come
wow.
on.
Wow.
Wow. I do have one general basketball question to ask you.
Yep.
So the Bucks against the Nets, and Antetokounmpo's the MVP of the league. Why isn't that guarding Durant? Not once.
I know.
That's
kind of
weak.
That
and then he doesn't take the shot to win the game?
Well, I always look at, you know, like in football, they always have like the best defensive back is usually guarding the best wide receiver. In the NBA, they switch it up like that. But what would concern me about the end of that game with Giannis and everybody, it's three-pointers. I've been saying this for 2 years. The big thing with him is free throws because he gets fouled a lot in the playoffs. You have to make free throws. So on Friday against Dallas, he went 1-for-10 from the free throw. In a game that they won, he went 1-for-10. I was just wondering, in that moment, was he maybe a little bit worried that he could get fouled with the team down two? Because remember, he started all the way in the backcourt. They threw the ball to Middleton. But Middleton's been good. Middleton won that game for them in the bubble against Miami when Giannis had been hurt. And it's almost like Middleton is saying, you know what, I'm a lot better than maybe my own team and I'm giving myself enough credit here. And he's been a lot more aggressive, which I actually think will be a good sign for Milwaukee. Milwaukee's going to be tough. They will not be an easy team to knock out. But guess what? Just like LeBron, good luck beating Kevin Durant four times. I'm not saying it can't happen, but good luck.
All right, Frank, we'll see you tonight on the show. Hope you have a nice suit and tie picked out. It's going to be a big audience. You know, you have to know that.
Pressure. Now you give me pressure. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Good talking to you guys.
Frank Isola, and you can watch him tonight on the Nets pregame on YES, and the game is at 7. Nets against the Cavs, the big three. Now, when we come back, we take a deep dive into the likelihood of Deshaun Watson becoming a Jet. Is it real? Could it happen?
Mm.
We'll break it down for the people. Kayla, Greco, Rosenberg, and you on YES, and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.